I just wanted to share and praise the Lord that the last few days have been amazing. They've been days of just thankfulness to Jesus for what he's done and joy. You know, Thursday night we gathered together as the body of Christ and we celebrated we had supper together, celebrated the Lord's Supper. We did a foot washing, which was a reminder to serve as Jesus served, right? Then Friday night we got together at the Healing Center and we shared the word, we praised the Lord, we heard testimonies. It was beautiful. And of course, yesterday was Saturday, and you know, it's the time when we remember that, you know, Jesus died on the cross and then he was buried and nothing happened. Yeah. It was not that nothing happened between when he was buried and when he rose again. You can read about that in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then today we're gathered together again, right, to celebrate that Jesus is alive. Yeah, and because he's alive, we live. And I was thinking about all of this and thought, you know, this is like Acts 2. It was like Acts 2, where, you know, every day the believers got together, they heard the word, they shared a meal, they had fellowship, they were in prayer. And I've been really meditating and reflecting on Psalm 23, because that's what I'm writing my blog about. And just thought, okay, so remember that Jesus ascended into heaven and that he's coming again. And because of that, okay, we can declare that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You know, with the Lord in his presence and with each other. And that is just overwhelming and exciting. Thank you.
Amen. Let's turn to Philippians. I'm just gonna read a portion from chapter 3. Then I'm gonna go to the book of Matthew. I want to see the heart of Paul and the heart, hopefully, of us who are loving Jesus. What I'm hearing is people are going deeper and desiring more of Christ. In chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul says in verse 8, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. What Paul says there is there needs to be, if you want to go deeper in Christ, you need to get rid of the stuff that's stopping you from knowing Christ more. Let me say that again. If you want to know more of Jesus, if you want a closer relationship with Jesus, we need to get rid of the stuff that gets in the way of knowing Jesus more. We need to lay some stuff down. We need to count those things as loss that distract us from going and getting to know Jesus more. Are you with me? And then he says in verse 10, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now that is quite a statement. If you let that sink in, Paul's desire is to get rid of all the distractions, count everything lost to know Jesus more, and even further, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to give up everything, even sharing in his sufferings, and conform to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Wow. It's not works salvation. That's a decision that I'm going to pursue Christ and make sure that there's nothing in the way that's stopping me from getting the prize of my faith, which is resurrection, a glorified body. And so his life is committed to Christ. His life is the pursuit of knowing Jesus more. And I want to say this afternoon that anyone who wants to know Jesus more will live in the power of the resurrection. If you want to know Jesus more, you will experience the power of the living Savior in your life. And that's what I want to talk about this afternoon. So, let me do a quick recap of the resurrection, because there are two parts of the power of the resurrection. There's God's power. Well, it's all God's power. There's God's power that raised Jesus from the dead. Okay? And then there's God's power in us to demonstrate to the world that Jesus is raised from the dead. So I want to go to Matthew 27 and 28. And keep your finger in Philippians 3. That's where most of this is going to come from. But just want to quickly give you a little revelation as I sat and meditated on the whole resurrection. And God's just started to show me some stuff, and I thought it was really cool. Let me tell you, let me put a plug for your Bibles. The best Bible you can get is the one with notes on the side. Cross references. If you really want to grow in Christ, start looking up the cross references. You will be amazed at how the scripture links together, okay? And I encourage you to do that. But first, let's just read the first few verses of chapter 28. Reading from the New American Standard. Now after the Sabbath, as it began today to dawn, toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. Why? For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to his disciples. Behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God, how powerful it is, how it reveals your heart, your love for us, and it reveals the great truth of Jesus Christ, that it was your plan from the foundation of the world to send him to die for us and to redeem us and to give us life that we could not achieve for ourselves, Lord. But you, Father, stepped in, and you offered us salvation through his work. And we praise you for that. We give you glory and ask you to open your word to us now that we might see Christ even more. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you look at chapter 28, it's the first day of the week. When I was studying, the first day jumped off the page at me. And immediately I thought of the creation story. What was the first day? Do you remember the first day when God separated darkness and light? God created light. Let there be light. That's the first day. And I believe this is the first day. This is like a new creation. It's dawn. It's morning. The sun is shining, coming up, just coming up. And sun is on the horizon, and it's about to shine. The darkness is about to go away. Do you remember what happened at the cross? How darkness came for 3 hours? And the Son of God was snuffed out, killed on the cross, and darkness covered the land. God was dead. It was dark. And Sunday morning, it's the poof, let there be light. And the light came, and the angel came down full of splendor and majesty, shining. His appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And so you have this new creation happening. It's like new birth. The whole world is changed because Jesus has risen from the dead. And I want to point out something else that I was meditating on. When Jesus, if you go to Matthew 16 real quick, if you go to Matthew 16, Jesus talks about his death and resurrection. And he says this, 16 verse 21. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. And while I was in Genesis reading the creation account, the third day, do you know what happens in the third day? That's when all the trees and the plants and the bushes and everything produce fruit. Immediately when I read that, I was reminded of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15 talking about the resurrection, that Jesus was raised as first fruits. He was the first fruit picked. And the New Testament teaches us that when you pick the first fruit, there's guarantee a harvest to come after that. And I just want you to see, you know, the Word of God is living and active and powerful, right? Every word is chosen by the Holy Spirit. I just find it amazing. So we have the first day, the new beginning, and we have the third day. He's the first fruits promising a great harvest of souls. And I get so excited when I see that stuff. Excuse me. So I want to remind you that in Acts 13:30, it says God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It says that over and over and again, God raised Jesus from the dead. It also says, as Christine read, Jesus raised Jesus from the dead. Okay? I lay down my life and I take it back up again. And in Romans 8:11, it said the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, who raised Jesus from the dead? The whole Godhead was involved in the resurrection. Okay? It was a plan of God from the beginning and the foundation of the world. And friends, when I think of the power of the resurrection, I think of earthquakes and angels coming down and light shining forth in a new day. And I think of all of God's plan coming to fruition in Christ. All the way from the beginning when God promised that he would bring a deliverer and he would bring a sacrifice to set us free and he would raise us up and bring us new life and promise us a kingdom and a garden of Eden, even though it was tarnished and ruined by sin. God would promise us a new heaven and a new earth. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what resurrection is to me. Let's go back to Philippians. I want to show you. This is what the resurrection means to us. The power of the resurrection. So hold your finger in Philippians 3. Because I'm going to do a little Bible study here real quick. Paul plants the Philippian church in Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 16. So go there real quick, Acts 16. And keep your finger in Philippians 3, because we're going to go there really soon. Well, Philippians, the book of Philippians. Acts 16. So I showed you the power of God in the resurrection, okay? That all of creation, he commands creation to respond to the resurrection. And now I want to show you, we know what happens because of the resurrection. The saints believe and they're totally transformed, right? They're never the same again when they receive the risen Savior into their heart. But I want to show you specifically the power of the resurrection in believers' lives. That's you and me. And friends, when I take you through this, I want you to ask yourself one question. Do I demonstrate the power of the resurrection like this in my life? Okay. Is this the way my life should look based on Scripture with the Son of God living inside of me, full of glory and full of power? So in Acts 16:5, it says the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. Okay, God is moving. The resurrection, resurrected Christ, he's building his church. He's moving throughout all of Asia and the whole world, and the church is growing, and the Spirit of God is moving. Verse 6, and they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Spirit of Jesus? Jesus is alive. He's building his church, and he's speaking to the disciples. Just as he said in John 16, I will send you Holy Spirit, and he will take from me and reveal to you what should happen. And so Jesus is speaking to Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is leading his church, which proves that Jesus is alive in his people. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. How many of us in this congregation have visions? Many of us, right? Guess what? You're proof. Jesus is alive. He's in you, giving you visions. Keep reading, verse 13. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart. Which Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she heard, her and her household had been baptized, she urged, saying, just think about this. Jesus is moving through the preaching and proclamation of his people, and he's seeking and saving the lost, and he just reached down and opened a woman's heart so she could receive him into her heart. Okay, he's alive. Proof. The church is proof that Jesus is alive. We are the demonstration of the power of the resurrection. I could keep going. This person, she's hired by people for money. What's her gift? It's prophetic gift. It's divination. It's foretelling things. And she says, she's following Paul and the disciples, and she says this, verse 17, these men are bondservants or slaves of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She keeps following them, and she keeps saying this. And Paul has enough. He puts up with it for many days, and he turns around. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. Okay? And you see deliverance happening. You see visions. You see the salvations. You see deliverance. Let me show you. Let's keep going. Amazing chapter. So because they drove out the spirit out of this girl, and these guys were depending on her for finances, they get mad and they start beating up Paul. And look what happens. Verse 23, they inflicted many blows upon them. They threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Wow. That's... Are we willing to do that? Let me tell you something. How do you know the power of the resurrection? You're willing to go into prison for Christ. That's the power of the resurrection. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison house was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, everybody's chains fell off. Friends, that's power. That's the power of the risen Savior. And the jailers are freaking out. Oh no, we're going to die. So what does Jesus do? The risen Jesus? Well, I'll just save the jailers. It's great. And he called for lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. This is the jailer. And after he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized. Total transformation. One minute he's guarding them in prison. The next minute he's cleaning their wounds. Totally changed. The power of the resurrection hit him. He's a new man in Christ. Okay? That's one chapter in the book of Acts. Okay? You can go home and read the rest of the book of Acts, and you'll see Jesus is alive. He's in his church. Now let's go to Philippians. If I get excited, well, hopefully it rubs off. Because listen, there's nothing greater than living in the life of Christ. Can I get a witness? Has anybody experienced what's happening here? Salvation, visions, prophecies, Holy Spirit speaking to you, directing your life. Like, it's fascinating. Friends, we are the greatest proof that Jesus is alive. And I could take the whole book, but let me just go quickly. So in chapter 1, I wrote in verse 5, Paul is just giving thanks. Why is he giving thanks? For their participation in the gospel. These are pagan believers. They're pagans who now believe in Jesus Christ. How did they believe? Because they were preached the gospel. They responded to the gospel, and now they're acting, and they're preaching the gospel, and they're partnering with Paul in the preaching of the gospel. That's the power of the resurrection. This is the demonstration that Jesus is alive in your life, because you got to tell people, you got to partner with those who are preaching the gospel and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, you are all partakers of grace. They're partaking of the graces of Christ with him. In verse 11, they've been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. See, there's proof. Your life is righteous. The stuff you used to do, you're not doing anymore. You live in righteousness. Verse 14, most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my prison have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Paul's in jail writing them a letter. Because he's in jail, the people are getting more encouraged, and they're growing more bold in their faith, and they're speaking more boldly. That's Jesus in them. He's alive. Verse 18, Christ is proclaimed. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers, their praying, and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who's alive. He says this, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Here's the proof. The power of the resurrection is I no longer live. Christ lives in me. I want him to live through me. I want to live my life for him. Okay, that's the power. Friends, are you living in that power? Because your life, when you surrender your life to him and allow him to lead you, your life will go like, okay, it'll take off. You'll see things that you only read about, and you'll say, wow, you've called me to participate in that, in healing the sick and praying to open prison doors and getting people saved. You've called me to that? Yeah, just let me live through you. That's the power of the resurrected Christ. Verse 13 of chapter 2. It is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's resurrection power. God's working in you. Verse 22, you know of his proven worth. He's talking about Timothy, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. You're not alone. You have someone to walk with. You have a fellow believer who's at your side. That's the power of the resurrection. Okay? That together we're building the kingdom of God and moving it forward. Oh, man, I get so excited. Anyway, let me go real quick to chapter 4. Verse 11, Paul says this. I have learned to be content. I have learned, there's only one way you learn to be content in this world. That's if Jesus Christ is alive in you. Okay? If you don't have Jesus, you will not be content. You will not be happy. And what does he say in verse 13? Everybody should know this verse off by heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that proof enough that Jesus is alive? Through Christ who strengthens me. And verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What great truths. This book is so phenomenal. Paul and the Philippians are testimony that Jesus is alive and the power of the resurrection is operating in their lives. And this is the one we all get excited about. We can all shout and say amen in a moment. How do you know that Jesus Christ is alive? Because you have a new hope. You have a new reason to live. You know that this is not your home, right? You know that even though it's going to get hard and life is difficult and in this world you will have trouble, fear not, I've overcome the world. And John 14, I'm going, but I'm preparing a place for you. And I'll come back and I'll get you and I'll take you to be with me. And then Paul, you want to see power of the resurrection? Chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in the book of Ephesians says, raised us up and seated us with him. And we are seated spiritually in heaven. Our citizenship, Peter says, is not earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of the new kingdom of God. And that's where we're going to be. And what does he say in verse 21? This Lord Jesus Christ who will transform our humble, lowly bodies into conformity with the body of his glory. There's the hope of the resurrection. I don't know about you. I've said it before. This body I'm in, it's decaying. The older you get, the more it decays, right? Some of you smiling, you know very well what I'm talking about. If you didn't hear me, that's because your body's decaying. And you need, okay? You need to shout louder, brother. Listen, the greatest proof of the resurrection is the hope you have. That one day, and listen, I don't know about you, but I've been to a lot of funerals. Kim, you've been to funerals, right? There's a lot of funerals. There's young people dying, old people dying, but there's a lot of death happening. And I'm not going to get into why and all that stuff, but listen, there's a huge difference between someone who's died in Christ and someone who has not died in or died not in Christ, right? They have a hope, and they're not afraid to talk about it. And on Thursday, I went to visit someone, the daughter of a guy I was visiting in the nursing home, Glenn. A lot of you know Glenn. I had an amazing...
I was actually going to share some of this testimony. Glenn Poivison, some people are shaking their heads. Glenn Poivison used to own and run the Christian bookstore on Speedville. And the interesting thing is he was ill because he had problems walking, and he was in the seniors' home. And during COVID, you know, how many people who are in the seniors' home, no one could go visit them, right? Praise the Lord. He loved it when Mike went to visit him because he could talk about Jesus. He and Charles were friends. Now they're celebrating in heaven, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't wait to get there and see all these old guys we used to hang around with. I don't even know what they'll look like, but we shall be like him, it says. But here's the deal. So I went to see him on Tuesday afternoon, and I was going to go see him on Thursday, and he died Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. And I didn't know. I called his daughter and said, has he been moved yet? I'm going to go see him. Because he was supposed to go to, palliative care. As I'm driving to see him on Tuesday, I'm always praying, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And I just hear, talk about the resurrection. So I get my phone, I'm playing 1 Corinthians 15 on my phone while I'm driving, and I'm just listening to the resurrection story. You got to go home and read that. It's a great, great passage. And I sit with Glenn, and he's having a really hard time. Like, he's in a lot of pain, and he can't get comfortable. And he hasn't walked, really, in about 6 years now. He's been laying in bed, and he's totally dependent on everybody for help. Yeah, he's tired, and he wants to go home. But never before have I felt the unction to talk about heaven so much with him and the resurrection so much with him. And we talked about it all. We talked about the new body, no more tears and no more sorrow, no more pain, right? Revelation at the end of the book. We talked about the resurrection. And Glenn, I said, you know what? One day when I get to heaven, I'm going to see you running around on those legs. I've never seen him run, never seen him hardly walk on those legs, right? And Paul says he will transform this lowly, humble body into conformity with the body of his glory, a glorious body like Jesus has right now. That's the earthly, not even earthly. It's what's going to happen to our physicality when we get to heaven. Okay? Let me just tell you. I know maybe some of you don't agree, but when you die, your body goes in the grave. When Jesus comes back at the rapture or the resurrection, whatever your theology is, that body's coming out of the ground. In a split second, in the twinkling of an eye, that body is transformed into the likeness of Christ, glorious body. And it's reunited with your spirit. Okay? Friends, this is the hope of the resurrection. That the kingdom of God is coming down, the new Jerusalem is coming down on earth, and somehow, in some way, and I don't get it all, and I don't claim to know it all, but we will be new, and we will be transformed, and it will be amazing glory. We will never have pain again. We will never cry again. Okay? That's incredible to me. And Paul says, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the scripture says, will raise us up with him. The same power, let me get even a little more specific here, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us right now. Right? See, I don't get the same response as I did 2 seconds ago. Because a lot of us don't believe that. What is the power of the resurrection? It is the God of the universe living inside of us right now. Do I need to demonstrate that? Friends, go home and read Ephesians. Let me just show you Ephesians 3:20 real quick. Ephesians 3:20. To him, you need to put this on your scripture. You need to read it before you leave the house every day, okay? To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. What power? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead abides in you, Romans 6. Okay? Jesus is in you. I showed you Acts 16. I showed you Philippians. People who are empowered by the Spirit of God can do incredible things for the kingdom of God. You can heal the sick. I didn't even show you that. You know, there's healing that takes place in the Bible because of the power of Christ. You know, Acts chapter 3, they see a guy, and what's the first thing they do? After they preach the gospel, 3,000 people get saved. They go into the temple. They see a guy there who's been crippled long, long, long time. Nobody's ever seen him walk. Oh, please, give me some money. I don't have money. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Poof, he's on his feet. He's dancing around. Then they end up persecuted for that. You want to live in the power of the resurrection, there's a price to pay. That's why Paul says, I got to count the cost to live in the power of the resurrection. Are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to go crazy for Jesus? Are you willing to live loud? Are you willing to be that charismatic, I can lay hands on the sick, I can raise the dead, I can speak in new languages, I can do all things through Christ. Whatever he asks me to do, I can do. Are you ready to live that life? Then step into the power of the resurrection. Allow Jesus, the risen one, to take over your life and watch your life change. And that's the message, friend. The power of the resurrection is right here. It's available for anybody right now. Okay? If you haven't received Christ, that's the first step. Guess where your journey starts? It doesn't start on day three. It starts at day one. You got to go to the cross. You got to have Jesus take away your sins. And then you got to let him come in and rule your life and fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then you watch your life take off. Amen. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I praise God. I look over this congregation. You know what? There's a lot of powerful people in this place. Ooh, glory. I see Jesus. Sometimes I get so excited, you know, when I hear testimonies of God setting people free because we prayed for them, or God healing someone, or even someone leading someone to Jesus, or even someone going to a funeral home and comforting someone who's mourning. That's the power of Christ in us. It doesn't have to look supernatural. Woo, everybody's freaking out. It's a word. It's the gifts of the Spirit of God through Christ working and bringing healing and ministry to people. That's the power of Christ. So, friends, there's a broken, hurting world out there that needs the power of Christ. Guess who? You know, if you keep reading Philippians 3, you read Philippians 3:12, it says, I press on. I press on. You know what the power of the resurrection is? It's perseverance. God gives you the ability to persevere, and he says in the beginning, in a crooked and perverse generation. He allows you the grace and the power to keep going. Okay, and wow, when I read that, I thought, that's probably the greatest power we have as Christians, is to keep going when it's really tough. Mm-hmm.